the framework of a century-long settler colonial project based on the racist, supremacist ideology of Zionism. There's an excellent book by a Palestinian-American historian called Rashid Khalidi, The 100 Years War in Palestine, which articulates the settler colonial project really well. Now, it was written 4 years ago, but he warned then that the settler colonial project of Israel was on the verge of moving to a genocidal phase, moving from displacing the Palestinians to smaller and smaller areas within historical Palestine to mass transfer and removal by mass murder, as we've seen lots of times. I want to focus on the situation for the Palestinians in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. So I've just returned from spending 4.5 months there and witnessed this little genocide at first hand. So I was there with the International Solidarity Movement, a Palestinian-led organisation that stands alongside and in solidarity with communities under struggle and under threat from ethnic cleansing. And in raising the issues about what's happening in the West Bank, it's not to detract from or dilute in any way all of the campaigning and activism, vital campaigning that we're doing in relation to the horrific events, the horrific genocide in Gaza, but it's to extend our solidarity to Palestinians who, after 57 years of a brutal occupation, are resisting the same settler colonial project as their brothers and sisters in Gaza. Now, I use the term slow genocide to frame what's happening, as it bears all the hallmarks of a developing and evolving genocide. The apartheid structures which are in place, such as the settler-only roads, the theft of land to the illegal settlements, and now 800,000 settlers across the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Killings by the state forces with complete impunity, and the restrictions on access to essentials such as water and all the necessary means of making a living. Now, when I set out on my walk to Palestine, which was from Calais, in the middle of April, the situation in the West Bank was already bad, and it was a deteriorating one. And that was seen, that was in the context of the elections in Israel towards the end of 2022, which resulted in a far-right government with fascists, Jewish supremacists, and settlement movements now at the heart of government. People such as Ben-Gavir, leader of Jewish power, and Smotrich, head of the religious Zionist party. Both are illegal settlers with criminal convictions for anti-Arab terrorist offences. Ben-Gavir is the National Security Minister and Smotrich is Finance Minister. Now, both are followers of Rabbi Meir Kahan, who advocated for forced expulsions by violence, including mass killings of Palestinians from all of historical Palestine, and the establishment of an ethno-state of Jews only covering what's called Eretz Israel, the Great Israel, which encompasses not just historical Palestine, but Jordan, southern Lebanon, southern Syria, and parts of Egypt as well. So the election of this far-right government resulted in 2023, this was before the 7th of October, an escalation of land theft by terrorist gangs of heavily armed illegal Israeli settlers, backed up by the Israeli occupation forces. Over that period, 1,000 villages were forcibly displaced, 200 people were killed, including 50 children by the IOF and settlers. Now, since the 7th of October, there's been a marked deterioration in the situation in the West Bank. There's about 420 people killed by the IOF and settlers, including 100 children, and 4,600 people seriously injured, often with life-changing injuries. Brutal collective punishment, land theft, terrorising of the population have all intensified since the 7th of October. Just want to highlight some of the ways in which this manifests for people in the West Bank. Firstly, ethnic cleansing. During my time in the West Bank, I was based in the South Hebron Hills, a particular area called Masafa Yatta, but also spent some time in the Jordan Valley as well. They're both located in Area C of the West Bank, and these are areas which are most vulnerable to the forced displacement and ethnic cleansing by illegal Israeli settlers. Terrorist gangs of heavily armed illegal settlers, backed up by the IOF, raid villages, often during the night, assaulting men, smashing essential infrastructure, stealing equipment, poisoning wells, and issuing death threats. I saw this on a number of occasions firsthand in the villages I was in, when settler gangs and accompanied by the army. It's very difficult to differentiate between the two. We turn up, and the trauma it causes for people in the village and the children in particular is terrifying. Now, immediately after the 7th of October, Ben-Gavir, security minister, authorised the distribution of 20,000 M16 assault rifles to illegal settlers, and established settler militias to take over from the regular army who were now being moved over to Gaza. So the situation is quite so desperate. And these are very often very rural communities, isolated from another, living a traditional lifestyle, and are facing this terror on a regular basis. We've had the war on the refugee camps in Jenin, in Tulkarm, Tubas, Nablus, Hebron, Bethlehem. Military attacks on the refugee camps and surrounding towns and villages have all intensified since the 7th of October. Just before Christmas, I went to visit Jenin Refugee Camp, which is located in the heart of Jenin City, just after the army were pulling out, after being in the town, in the refugee camp for 2 days. 1,000 plus soldiers and attack dogs with armored vehicles have been in, causing absolute mayhem. You bring in these heavily armored earth-moving equipment, which tears up the infrastructure, tears up the roads, tears up the underlying sewage and water piping infrastructure, creating absolute devastation. 11 people were killed over that two-day period, dozens were injured, and the hospital staff were terrorized as well. And this is happening all across the West Bank. And also the other aspect is about mass arrests and detention. Since the 7th of October, 7,200 people, including 260 children, have been arrested and detained by the IOF across the West Bank. And two-thirds of these people are held under administrative detention, which is a bureaucratic process without any judicial review, under which I'll need say so, an army commander, a person can be detained for up to 6 months and then that can be renewed indefinitely after that. Without any judicial review and on the basis of secret files, so there's no defence, there's no legal process. The conditions in prison are absolutely brutal. And the period is since the 7th of October, the Red Cross aren't allowed to come in or to scrutinise what's happening. There's been at least 9 deaths in prison. The 10,000 Palestinian political prisoners held in Israeli jails are essentially now hostages held by the Israeli state as a tool of collective punishment, oppression and control. We hear a lot about the 130 hostages being held in Gaza, and we have 10,000 hostages being held in the West Bank. The media never touches on that. So I want to finish with 2 points. Firstly, a day of reckoning will come for Israel, for it's 100 years war on the Palestinian people. Whether it's through the ICJ, there's 2 cases of genocide and occupation before the court at the moment, or through being shunned and boycotted by the rest of the world and treated as the rogue pariah state that it's become. A day of reckoning will also come for those who have acted as enablers or have been apologists for its war crimes and genocide, the financial institutions such as Barclays and HSBC, the arms manufacturers such as Rafael, here on Scotland Road in Newcastle, and the Indonesian politicians who provided political and diplomatic cover. But mostly this day of reckoning will come because of the steadfast, courageous and creative resistance which the Palestinians have shown in the face of the brutal settler colonial Zionist project again over a 100-year period. And I think it's our duty to be in solidarity with them and this resistance in any way we can. Thank you.